We'll just read one verse, Amos chapter 3, verse 3. It's a familiar verse. We've preached on it over the years, but a little bit different direction this evening. Of a good concept that I think will help us. And it won't be long tonight, but I really want you to get the truth, because it is a life changer if we will allow it. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, let's read it together. The Word of God says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this portion of Scripture, grateful for the agreement that we can have in You. And Lord, You are the one that truly matters, not my thoughts, not my opinions, not my experience, but You. And thank You for the Word You've given us. Thank You for the truth it contains. And Lord, thank You that we can walk together and we can agree. Help us to understand this simple truth tonight about agreement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And so Amos is a very interesting book, and I'd love to take time to dig into it, but we won't tonight. But God asks this question, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now you'll notice this is one in a succession of different questions. All right, so let's look at verse 4 just for context. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where there is no gin or trap for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? And the answer to all these questions is no. All right? These things don't happen. And what the underlying truth is that God is reminding them that judgment's coming. And unfortunately, there have been some prophets that are not preaching the truth. God is saying judgment's coming. Faithful prophets are saying judgment's coming. But there are preachers that are saying judgment's not coming, everything's okay. And the Bible here is talking about, listen, those two messages don't agree. Somebody's got to be right. Somebody's got to be wrong. And then so he starts asking these questions. And here we take this, can two walk together except they be agreed? And the obvious answer is no. And we think about agreement is so important in life. That, listen, if you're married, it's good to agree on some things. First of all, to get married, you have to agree to get married. Amen? We have experienced people that, not necessarily this church, but someone proposes and then you get the awful answer, no. That's why before I proposed, I knew the answer. And not overtly, but you better believe I had an awful good idea that she was on board before. Nowadays, people, and by the way, I think this is such a bad idea. Nowadays, before people get married, you know, they're planned out how many kids they're going to have, where they're going to live, how many bedrooms are going to be in their house. I think it's a bad idea. You know, you got to save some things for marriage or engagement. It's not like, hi, my name's Paul. How many kids do you want to have? You know, there's got to be some transition. But unfortunately, a lot of people live that way nowadays. But I guarantee you that I had a good idea that she was going to say yes. And I thank God she did. I got the better end of that deal. Amen. And she got the short end of the stick. Agreement is important. But I think that there's a part of agreement that a lot of people misunderstand. The Bible doesn't say that you have to agree on everything to walk together. I want you to listen to that. Think about that. The Bible doesn't say, can two walk together except they be agreed on everything? Right? It's not what it says. And the truth is, you're going to be hard-pressed to find somebody in life that you agree with everything about. I doubt they exist. And if you think they exist, it's because you don't know them well enough. Because the closer you get to somebody, the more you find out that, hey, we're pretty different. And sometimes in marriages, people think they, you know, young people get married and they think they know everything about each other. And then they get married and they're like, whoa, I didn't know that. Or, hey, I didn't think that. Or, whoa. No, it's a process. And the deeper your relationship gets, there has to be layers of agreement so you can continue walking together. But you don't have to agree on everything. You'll never agree on everything. And the truth is, you won't even agree with yourself part of the time. So the devil puts up this straw man that I can't be a part of you. I can't agree with you, or I don't agree with you about everything, so that the relationship's over. And that's just not true. And there's a word that I want to give you tonight that deals with this concept of agreement. And it's part of agreement, but it's an important part. And that word is alignment. Alignment. Being in line with one another. Now, if you have a vehicle and you do maintenance, you know that the manufacturer calls for your tires to be aligned, right? It gets certain tolerances, and once it gets out of certain alignment, one tire can be a little bit this way and one tire can be a little bit that way, and that cuts down on your gas mileage, and it will wear your tires out faster, all of those types of things. You know, also, your tires can be out of alignment this way, and so that will wear out your tires. And so the manufacturer says you need to align your tires, and they recommend that often every 6,000 miles. And so that matters, because if you're straight in line with one another, then you're going the same direction without friction. I remember one time I was driving, I was in college, and I had a 1990s Chevy Cavalier, and I really liked that car. But I was driving down Route 30 there, going west and getting ready to turn off for the college, and I'd been going about 60 there on the main drag, four-lane highway, and I was pulling off, slowing down. I guess I was going about 35 miles an hour, and I was going down 35, 30, 25, and all of a sudden my car just starts jiggling, and then it starts like bucking like a Bronco, like poof, 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 poof. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Thankfully, by the time it started bucking, I was down to about 15 miles an hour, but the front of my car is just bucking up and down, and then it stops bucking, and I see my tire roll off into the road. As I was turning, my tire falls off and rolls out into the road. Now, what happened was someone had changed my tires, but they didn't tighten them enough, so the vibrations loosened the nuts, and it sheared off the bolts. I mean, just literally just cut them right off. And so I can attest to you by personal experience that you don't want three tires going this way and one tire going that way. Unfortunately, that's the way a lot of people live. That's the way a lot of families live. We wonder why there's friction in the home. There's no alignment. We wonder why there's friction in the marriage. There's no alignment. We wonder why there's friction at work. There's no alignment. We wonder why there's friction at church. People get out of line, and we need to have that alignment. Now, alignment is one of the first elements of agreement. The word agreement in the Bible speaks of harmony. And harmony is most often remembered when we think about the piano. The ladies do a great job playing the instruments up here, and I really appreciate that. And we're working on our music program, and we're going to have other people doing offertories and including people, and it's going to be awesome. Look forward to a great year. But they do a great job up here, don't they? And you hear the everything just sounds nice, and one note flows into the other. That's harmony. And usually they're playing 4 to 6 notes at a time in any given order, but it all fits together. No, we don't let me play the piano because it wouldn't be in harmony, right? We don't let Brother Brent play the piano because he would break it. And so we can't allow that. No, there's just, it'd be disharmony. And so harmony brings beautiful. It brings different, it brings things that are different into agreement in a way that works. And watch this, they don't all have to be the same, but they have to work together. The devil wants you to believe that agreement means that we all have to somehow homogenize and be the same. That sometimes people will say, well, you Christians, you're just trying to make zombies of everybody, make everybody the same. No, no, no. God made us different, and God uses different certain places. No, we know where they fit together, and so we can put them there. Now, if we look back at our text here, can two walk together except they be agreed? I often think of this term alignment because we're walking down a road. So if two people, if the middle aisle here is a road and two people want to walk together, they have to be going the same direction. Is that right? Now, I know it sounds so simple, but don't miss this. The direction you're going is more important than what brand of sandals you're wearing. I wear Nike sandals, personally. No, I don't. And sandals, that's what they would have worn back then. The direction you're both going is more important than what you think about sports. The direction, the road you're walking on is more important than all these other things. But what happens if you're not careful, you will focus on the minors and forget that the very beginning of agreement is alignment. Are we going the same direction? Are we willing to go the same direction? And the answer has to be yes, if we're going to agree. I thought when thinking about when I married my wife, I needed a lady that wanted to go the same direction. I was going into the ministry. I was called to be a preacher. I told Sarah before we ever got married, we had a talk after we were engaged, and I said, you know, once we're married, there's only two people on earth that can destroy my ministry, and that's me and that's you. And we had an honest conversation about, you know, that we're giving each other our lives. We're connecting to one another in a way that is not only super spiritual, but I mean, it's lifelong. And so we needed to make sure that there was alignment. And of course, so sweet, she said, oh, I would never even think about doing that. I'd never want to hurt you. And I know she wouldn't. But I had to make sure we're going the same direction. In life, direction is so very important. Here's the thought. You don't need people to agree with everything you're doing or you are, and you don't need to get everybody else to agree with everything you believe. What you need to find out initially is, are we going the same direction? Because sometimes the details aren't nearly as important as this relationship is based on the direction we're headed. For example, an employer and an employee don't need to agree on everything. Right? God put the employer in that relationship. He's got to make certain decisions. He's not always going to ask the employees, what is your preference? But the employee has to decide with the employer, this is the direction I'm going, and so can you go this direction with me? And so let's take the pizzas. So Sam and Ina say, we're going to make pizzas. And someone says, well, I don't want to make pizzas. Well, then you're in the wrong line of work. Because at this pizza shop, we make pizzas. Right? The drug dealer in town says, hey, I'm looking for some people. I need to hand out some corners in some areas. And the money's good, but you say, I'm not going that direction. I'm not going to sell drugs. See, the alignment's off. Alignment is so important. Are you aligned? Let me tell you, husbands and wives, something. Husbands and wives don't have to agree about everything, but you do have to have alignment. You do have to realize we're going to go the same direction. We're trying to accomplish the same things. In that relationship, God has given the husband the leadership. That's when everybody kind of nods their head. You may not like it. That's what God says. Somebody has to be in charge, just like the employee-employer relationship. Somebody's got to be in charge. Anything with two heads is going to fall apart, right? God gave the man and said, you are corporately responsible for this. And it doesn't mean he leads like a brute. Doesn't mean he's a dictator. But it means he's responsible for God, to God, and that he has to make the final call. And let me say that husbands and wives don't have to agree about everything. Matter of fact, sometimes you will disagree. But what you can do is align. This is the direction we're going to go. And a wife says, well, I don't think it's the best way we're going to do that. Maybe you don't agree it's the best way, but do you agree it's the best direction? Maybe you don't agree on all the details, but do you agree that we are going to go that direction? We are going to serve the Lord. And then when we disagree, there's this concept in the Bible called subjection. And it's not just husbands and wives, it's in every area of life. Because nobody's the leader in every area. Right? So we all have to be in subjection at one point or another if we're going to continue a relationship. So I don't think that this is the best way to do this. But I don't need to because we're going the same direction. You know, Ethan works at his place and the owner says, I want these pavers over here. And Ethan says, well, that's not the best place for those pavers. But that's where the boss wants them. That's where I'll put them. Or, as I've seen other people he could do, I've seen other people lose jobs by saying, I will never put those pavers over there. I don't care what the boss says. You think fighting the wrong battle? See, sometimes we start fighting the wrong battle. We start focusing on the wrong things as if this momentary disagreement over here that's inconsequential, we are willing to change directions, and that's foolishness. And so, same thing in a marriage. A husband and wife, they talk about things, and they ought to pray about things and get each other's mind. And the husband says, look, I think this is the direction God wants us to go, and I think here's how we ought to do this. And by the way, a wise man does listen to his wife. She's half your brain. She's got insights and perspectives that you and I need, right? But you're responsible, sir. And sometimes the man says, you know what, I understand what you're saying, but I really feel like that this is the best way we're going to do this. Or no, we can't afford that right now. Or, you know, this is the direction we're going to go. And a wife can either put down, draw a line in the sand and say, you know what, I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm not talking about sinfulness. I'm talking about just everyday things. Or a wife can say, you know what, I may not agree with exactly how you're going about that, but I appreciate the fact that you're trying to follow the Lord. I appreciate the fact that you are trying to be wise. And then there's that surrender, because we don't have to agree on all the details, but we can agree that we're walking this direction. Alignment, so important. Here's a thought. So many times we are trying to reach agreement when we really ought to be focused on alignment. I had a man help me in the church some months ago, and I don't remember exactly what it was. I don't even remember the conversation, but we were talking about things, and I was talking about trying to get people together on a certain matter. I said, man, I really just praying that we can come to an agreement on this matter. And as far as the church goes and just some things we were doing. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. A lot of times the preacher, because he's put in a position of leadership, not by his own choice, but because that's how God put it, people will say mean things like, well, the preacher's just trying to be a dictator, or the preacher's just trying to rule things, or this or that. And that's really not a good preacher's heart. It's really not. And the truth is, sometimes we'll try too much to pull back because we don't want to be thought of like that, that if we're not careful, we'll pull back and almost stop leading. And so there was an area where I'm like, you know what, I'm really trying to get some agreement on this, and I'm just praying God gives me agreement. And one of the men in the church looked at me and he said, well, preacher, he said, if you're looking for 100% agreement on everything, then you're going to be disappointed. And I thought, you know, that's pretty good wisdom. And then I thought, what we need in this area is not agreement, we need alignment. Can we align all believing in that direction? Can we all say that this is the direction we want to go? I remember one time we were driving off to pastor school years ago, and I hadn't been here very long. It was our first major trip. We had like 15, 16 guys going in some RVs to a pastor school out in Indiana. By the way, had a great time. And so I'm looking at the map, and I said, guys, what's the best way to go? And man, just like they started arguing. Well, I think you ought to take South Road here down to Route 1, then you get on 95 and you go down here, then you, and someone said, no, you don't want to do that. You want to go up north on Route 4 and then cut over on 136 and get on 90 and go over. And then one person said, no, you want to get over here on 138 and go over here, and then you go over on 84 across Connecticut. And one person said, no, you don't want to do that. You want to, and I mean, there was like 15 different ideas about how to get to Indiana. And I'm sitting here thinking, I thought, what did I start? You know, I can look at a map as good as anybody. And I kind of had an idea, and I'd asked some people. And so they're like getting kind of, no, this is the best way. No, you're going to hit traffic. And no, you don't want to go through the city and all that kind of stuff. And I just said, guys, I said, you know what? To be honest, there's probably 1,000 ways we could take to get to this town in Indiana. I said, but somebody's got to decide, and that's me. So how about we go this way? And it was a good way. And everybody said, okay, that's alignment. Because we all want to go to Indiana. We all wanted to get there. And there's a million turnoffs and shortcuts. And what I'm trying to tell us tonight is if you get so focused on the details, it's easy to forget that you lose alignment on the most important parts of your life. And we certainly don't want to do that. You know, Satan's crowd agrees on an awful lot of things. Let's look at a verse here, Revelation chapter 17. And look at verse 17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree, and to give their kingdoms unto the beast or the Antichrist until the words of God be fulfilled. Now, we talked about this on Wednesday nights in our Revelation some months ago, but these are kingdoms and kings and political leaders that are going to turn over the power of their kingdoms to the Antichrist because they agree with the Antichrist. Now, how can you agree in killing people? How can you agree in murdering people? How can you agree with everything the Antichrist did, but they were certainly aligned, and you find out what they were aligned against is God. They were fighting against God, protecting their own power. And so it's amazing how people align over certain issues, and they can get blind to the things that really matter. You know, you think about the history of the Nazis, and there were some really awful people in the Nazis and just terrible, awful things they did. But there were also an awful lot of people that got swept up in that movement and did terrible things. And whenever they were talked to at their trials, it's like, oh, no, I don't agree with that, and I don't agree with this, and I don't, but they did agree enough to become part of the movement. They did agree enough to compromise certain values. And it's possible to agree with the wrong people about the wrong things. And that agreement gets us off track from where we really would prefer to be going. For example, Satan comes to you and says, in your marriage, you know, I hate it that he just throws his socks on the floor, and he will not put them in the hamper. Now, you guys know you do that, don't you? You know you do. Admit it. Confess it. Forsake it. It's okay. Repent. And the devil starts to say, you know what? He doesn't love you. If he loved you, he'd put his socks in the hamper. Now, how do we get from socks on the floor, not in the hamper, to your husband doesn't love you anymore? Satan's the master of using these little things, and we start agreeing in these other areas, and wrong agreements can pull us off. Eve began to agree with Satan and change the direction of her entire life simply by making some bad agreements and agreeing with Satan. So the devil's crowd agrees on certain things. Why is it so hard for God's people to agree? And I believe it's this, because we get focused on the wrong things, we begin stumbling over things that really are secondary or tertiary, that we lose focus on the main thing. For example, we want to bring glory to God, amen? That ought to be a road that all of us can walk. Now, there might be a little bit of disagreement on this or that, but can we all agree that, man, we're going to bring glory to God? That's the direction we're going. We ought to be able to agree about the Bible. The Bible's the Word of God. And this is the book that's going to tell us what path to walk. We ought to be able to agree about that. Matter of fact, look at 1 John. You see here in 1 John that God agrees and bears witness to some things. 1 John chapter 5, these beautiful verses. By the way, some false versions take the verses we're about ready to read out of your Bible, or out of that Bible, or that book. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one," the Trinity, amen. Verse 8, "And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, these three agree in one." And so these three earthly witnesses that Jesus is who he said he is, that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but there is agreement in heaven, there's agreement in the Trinity. God wants there to be agreement among God's people, but oftentimes God's people don't agree about the major things because they get caught up not agreeing over things that don't really matter in the first place. So the Bible says that God's people should agree in doctrine. And here's a situation that, listen, if somebody claims to be a Christian and they're not willing to say that Jesus is the Christ, I can't walk the path with them. Would you agree with that? We're walking a different road. Or if someone claims to be a Christian and they say you get saved by being a good person, but the Bible teaches we get saved by trusting in Jesus for salvation, we're walking a different road. I'm not on that path. Now, I might like how they say it. I might like their personality. I might like how they dress. I might like their car. I might like their smile. But we disagree on the things that I cannot compromise on. Does that make sense to you? But watch this. Here's what we do. We find someone, a preacher, that says, listen, there's the glory of God. We're going to live for Jesus. We're going to see God's glory. We're going to listen to the Bible. We're going to do it God's way. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And someone says, I don't like how he said that. And I don't like his tie. And I don't like. And they get so caught up in the things that don't matter that they lose sight of, we may not agree about every little thing, but we have alignment. I'm going this direction. We can work it all out as we're walking down the road, but we can walk together because we agree on the main stuff. It's amazing to me how many people will disagree about minor things, so then they will leave that road or that relationship and go and build new relationships where they have bigger and more intense disagreements about things that truly matter, almost oblivious to what they're doing. And so we want to focus on the alignment. We ought to agree in doctrine. There are some things that are worth fighting for. And the doctrine of God and doctrine of salvation is one of those things. Now look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 25. "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." Verse 27. "Only let not your conversation or behavior be as it becometh," only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, "that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And see, there's this plea in the Bible over and over and over for alignment, for agreement. But this isn't agreeing on everything. There is no church in the world where every member agrees on everything. It's impossible. But what you can do is you can say, you know what? We're going to strive together for the faith of the gospel. We're in this together. And the preacher might say it this way, and the assistant might say it this way, and the other person might say it this way, and maybe I think he's a little too strong in this area, or he's a little too weak in this area. But listen, we're going that direction. I'm on board. I'm on the train. I want to be there, striving together for the faith. We can have one spirit about that. We can have one mind about that. And so this idea of alignment, we are aligned together serving the Lord. The Bible also talks about that we can be aligned in heart. Look at Acts chapter 4, and we read it this morning, but just briefly, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now look at the result of that. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Now we know the biblical benefit of unity and agreement is power in the world and in ministry. Is it any wonder that Satan works so hard to break down agreement and alignment? Because then a church loses its power. It gets so busy focused on things that don't matter that they lose the ability and grieve the Holy Ghost of God, and they lose the ability to powerfully make a difference in their world. And what I'm saying is, Curtis Corner Baptist Church, we've got to understand that we will never agree about everything. We will never have complete and total 100% agreement about everything in the world, but we can agree on the major things. We can say, this church is going the direction I believe God wants it to go. We're going after sinners. We're preaching the book. We're teaching people how to be saved. We're talking about holiness. We're going into this world. We're working on families. We're teaching people how to have godly marriages. That's my crowd. That's my direction. And then whenever disagreements come up, and they do, we work through them biblically. This is where the term, though, we can agree to disagree comes in. What that term means is that we might disagree about this issue, but we have the same alignment on the greater issue. And honestly, sometimes the things that we're frustrated about in the grand scheme of things, 6 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, they're not going to amount to a hill of beans. There's a little country for you. They're not going to mean anything. I meet people that are mad at God. They don't even remember why. People that stopped going to church years ago, they don't even remember what happened. People that got divorced and they'll say, you know, I can't remember where it all started. Because it didn't really matter. It wasn't something that really mattered in the grand scheme of things. But that disagreement over things that didn't matter got them out of alignment, and now they're two tires that used to be going the same direction, and now they're going like this, and something's got to give, just like my tire falling off my car, and then the whole thing breaks down. Let me show you one more verse here in Matthew. Look at verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Do you know why the Bible says that? Because your brother's going to trespass against you. Fellow church members, sometimes your best friend, sometimes your spouse, sometimes the children, a parent. We're sinners who are going to hurt each other. So God builds in a method that says, let me tell you how to handle it whenever you inevitably hurt one another or you have a disagreement. So we go and tell him his fault with him alone. And by the way, if we did that, about 75% of the problems that become problems never would. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So a lot of times it can just be talked about in an honest conversation. Verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So then you take someone with you, not to gang up on somebody, not to get more people to your crowd and prove your point, but to just establish how things go. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but sometimes people lie. Sometimes they just downright lie. And so it's helpful sometimes to have a third party, neutral if at all possible, that can just say, look, you know, here's what's happening. Or if the thing still falls apart further, there's someone there to say, let me tell you what happened. And then the Bible says in verse 17, and if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and publican. And as we say often, there's nothing that can't be forgiven and healed with repentance and forgiveness. But here's someone that they won't repent. All right? And by the way, there's just some people that they're just not going to get right. You can ask for meetings, they're not going to meet with you. You can ask to talk about things, they're not going to talk about it. They're just not going to do it. And it's awful hard to fix that, but we can accomplish our responsibilities. All right, now why is this important? Look at verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two or three of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. This is the power of agreement. Not only does it bring power in ministry and witnessing, it brings power in prayer. And when two people can pray together and honestly agree that, Lord, we believe this is your will, we believe this is what you want to happen, and that this would bring glory to you, and Lord, we're asking you to do this, the Bible says there's great power in agreeing prayer. That's why that if you're struggling with someone, one of the best things you can do is pray with them. And prayer has a healing quality. You listen to their heart, you hear their prayers, it's like, man, this guy's not a monster. Man, she's not a demon. You know, she's got a heart. She loves God. We might disagree about this area, but there's some depth there that my pain, my hurt, my anger, my disagreement was not allowing me to see. And husbands and wives, I think it's a great idea to pray together. And oftentimes, if you run to an impasse and maybe there's some hardness of heart and you just start arguing, somebody ought to be able to say, hey, you know what, can we just stop and take a minute and pray? Because we don't want to go down this road. And oftentimes, if you'll pray, it can help. Now, if your spouse says, hey, can we pray about this? Don't say no. You know, wrong answer. You always want to be so spiritual, don't you? Wrong answer, you know. But the Bible says there's power in agreement. Then it goes on further, and look at verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, and that's such a powerful phrase, in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So watch this. Through agreement, we have power for ministry, we have power in prayer, and we have the presence of God. Agreement is worthwhile. But don't misunderstand, I'm not talking about agreeing on everything. We can agree on the main things. Can we agree on Jesus? Yes, let's start there. Can we agree on the Bible? Yes. And what you'll find is the deeper your relationships go, the more layers of agreement you have to have. I don't have to have very much agreement with the person who's handing me a coffee through the Dunkin' Donuts window. But we do have to agree on, I want a Dunkin' Donuts coffee and they want to sell me one. But we don't have to agree on politics. We don't have to agree on religious things. But if I want to marry that person, sorry, sweetie, if I want to marry that person, now the conversation changes. There's got to be a lot more depth of agreement for that kind of relationship. Here's what I encourage you to do. In your marriages, don't get so frustrated when you disagree over little things, but seek for alignment. With your parenting and your children and your family, you don't have to agree on every little thing, but you do have to agree, this is how our house is going to live. This is how our house is structured. We're going to serve and serve the Lord. When it comes to church things, don't be so frustrated when there's little disagreements or you're never going to agree with everything. But you can say, you know what, I may not understand that little thing over there. I may not understand this thing, or maybe I need to have a conversation about that. But I do love the direction we're going. Alignment. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, the answer is no. But if you're on the same road, walking the same direction, you can talk about a lot of stuff on the journey. Amen? That's why I often say we can work out anything if we're both have hearts surrendered to the Lord and we're willing to yield to Him. We can figure out a lot of things on the way, but we have to be aligned to walk together. Let's pray. Lord, pray that you take the scripture and use it. Help us to look at this in our lives. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand. The Lord spoke to your heart. The altar is open. A lot of things we discussed. Maybe you're here tonight, you're not sure you're saved. We'd love to take a Bible and tell you how you could know for sure you're going to heaven. But this idea of agreement begins with alignment. Maybe you've been focused on the wrong things. Maybe Satan's kind of got you distracted in one relationship or another. Maybe you have a tendency to make everyone want to agree with everything you're saying when it's not really necessary. But we can focus on alignment. Maybe you've been hurt, but you haven't been handling it biblically. A lot of things the Lord could have spoken to our hearts about. Maybe none of those things, something totally different. The altar's open as the piano plays. You come. There are people praying at the altar.